Welcome to the Rediscover Hour on Relevant Radio, a time to explore our Catholic faith and find out about ways to share the faith with others. Help create the possibility of an encounter with the person of Jesus Christ in the lives of others by living out the call to the new evangelization and helping fellow Catholics rediscover full life in the Church. The Rediscover Hour with Paul Sadek and Corey Regan starts now.
Welcome to the Rediscover Hour on Relevant Radio, brought to you by Stinson Electric, your trusted electrical advisor, solving electrical problems for commercial, industrial, and institutional facility managers. I'm Paul Sadek.
And I'm Corey Regan. Well, Christmas is quickly approaching. Are you ready, Paul?
I'm as ready as I'm ever going to be, and we've got all kinds of new life coming in both
know,
of our families.
I know. You are having a grandson a be born right
a
now.
A second grandson is probably being born at this very moment over in St. Paul.
Oh, that's awesome. And my sister down in Texas is any day now, any minute now, having her first son. So exciting and anxious times right now. I love it, though. New life is great at this time because that's what we're celebrating in the birth of Jesus.
And life here goes on.
Right. Right. Well, let's see. Coming up on the Rediscover Hour, really celebrating Christmas. The secular radio stations and department stores may think Christmas is over come December 26th, but you can keep the special spirit of celebration alive in your home and in your heart. Father John Paul Erickson has some inspiring ideas for you and your family.
Plus, we'll hear from local Catholics about their favorite Christmas tree ornament, why it's so special to them.
And New Year's resolutions that will make a real difference in your life. Deacon Dan Gannon joins us today with some suggestions for setting spiritual goals for 2014.
But first, we'll start the show like we usually do with Joe Towalski, editor of The Catholic Spirit. Some very heavy news this week, Joe.
That's right, Paul. It was announced this week that Archbishop Nienstedt temporarily has stepped aside from all public ministry while St. Paul police investigate an allegation against him that he inappropriately touched a male minor. The incident is alleged to have occurred during a 2009 group photography session following a confirmation. And in a letter to the faithful this week, the Archbishop said the allegation is absolutely and entirely false. And his hope, of course, is that the investigation will be thorough but quick so he can return to public ministry. And in the meantime, Bishop Pichet is covering all of the Archbishop's public duties, and the Archbishop won't be writing his regular column for the Catholic Spirit during this time. You know, as the Archdiocese said in a statement this week, these steps, you know, show that it's committed to disclosure and to following all of the internal policies that have been established on matters like this, even when it involves the Archbishop himself. So prayers are certainly in order that this be resolved quickly and justly.
Amen. Right. Amen.
And
so,
what else
is going on?
Well,
there's got to be some good news today, too.
We have some good news, yes. We have a story this week about efforts in the area where St. Bernard's Parish is in St. Paul to build a thrift store and a neighborhood service center as early as this coming year for new arrivals and others in need. It's an effort that's a partnership between the local St. Vincent de Paul Society and the Kareni Youth Conference. And that group is made up of older teens and young adults of families who've come to St. Paul as immigrants or refugees from the country of Myanmar in Asia.
Okay.
And some people may know it by its former name of Burma.
Yes.
And we did a story back in 2010 about the Kareni population that comes from this area.
Mm-hmm.
They began moving into this area a few years ago and kind of hooked up with St. Bernard's Church. Many of these folks are Catholic. And a group from the parish, with the St. Vincent de Paul Society's help, had begun several years ago organizing what they called free stores to help people in the community meet some of their needs, things like food and clothing and personal care items. Now they're helping the Kareni population start a new life here and helping them get what they need to do that, particularly now in the winter, which is not something these folks are accustomed to. So,
I wouldn't think so.
and it's been a chilly one for sure over
yeah.
the last couple of weeks. So they'll be kicking off a capital campaign very soon to help build this thrift store. And you can find out more about the effort of the local St. Vincent de Paul Society on their website, and that's at www.svdpmpls.org. So it's like St. Vincent de Paul
Now, that thrift store, that'll be open to the public, right?
Yeah, it's not just for the Kearney populations. For anybody, you know, that needs to utilize what it has in the neighborhood, it just happens that this youth group of Kearney young adults and youth are just partnering to help bring this about.
Oh, that's wonderful.
That's wonderful.
Yeah, great story.
And what else?
And another great story. You know, we have a follow-up to one we did earlier this year about a man who's creating sober homes.
Yeah, I remember that.
For men 40 years and older in the Twin Cities. He opened the first one called St. Michael Home in St. Paul last January, and now just this last month he opened a second one right nearby called St. Michael Home. And both are part of what's called Trinity Sober Homes, and it's an effort started by a man named Tim Murray.
I know Tim.
Yeah, he attends the cathedral. And, you know, he struggled with alcoholism himself some years ago and became sober, and now he's trying to help other men who are struggling with the same issue that he once struggled with. And, you know, unfortunately, there's a great need for facilities like this. And when we talked to Mr. Murray a little while back, he said he expected this new home, which can hold 11 men, he said it would probably be full by Christmas.
Oh, wow.
And the other home has a capacity for 12 guys at any given time, and that's full. So the homes are a little different than others, but because Mr. Murray's Catholic, the homes have a definite faith-based foundation. You know, they acknowledge that really a relationship with God is really needed to stay sober, mm-hmm. sober over the long haul. And so residents, you know, they don't have to be Catholic, but there's a definite Catholic feel to the places. They have Mass celebrated there once a month, and there's a chapel as well. So the houses really fill a need, and Mr. Murray's hope is to build more of them over time. So you can read more about him and the homes in this week's issue.
Now, this is very close to what we used to call a halfway house.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
But with a very heavy faith component, a very strong faith component.
Absolutely. Like you said, he just really feels that component is really necessary for over the long haul to stay sober.
To stay sober. Mm-hmm.
So what's happening at St. Odelia?
Yeah, yet another great news story here. A feature on a woman named Donna Hines. She's a member of St. Odelia. And for several decades, she has been coordinating a program for adults with special needs. The story is just, I think, really great recognition for Donna's ministry efforts with this group of people over the years. They just had a Christmas program with carols and a Christmas reading and some gift giving. And for Donna, it kind of all started in the 1970s when she began volunteering with the Sunday Faith Formation program at the parish. And one of her other volunteer efforts was working with developmentally disabled persons at a group home in Shoreview. And then that carried over to working with special needs folks at the parish. And so she adapted the Sunday school curriculum back then and turned it into the special education program they have today. And, you know, way back when, she said maybe a dozen people would come to participate in the program. Today, it's like 60 to 70 people
on
any
gosh.
Given night. And they range in age from 18 to over 70. So,
wow.
You know, I think her work's just really an inspiration and a reminder that the church is really there to serve all people.
All people, right.
Particularly the vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
You know, no matter what their needs. And she's just a great living example of that. And it's always great for us to be able to give recognition to folks like that. So.
Now, you have a Christmas section in the December 19th issue,
right.
Which just came out.
Yes, and we got a couple of Christmas things. Of course, we have our winners of this year's poster contest. We asked youth to finish the question, I unwrap the real gift of Christmas when,
okay.
And then to draw a picture to match their answer. So we had just over 400 entries.
Oh, my gosh, that's great.
And we picked four winners in four age categories, and people can see those winners in the paper and on our website.
And you have their drawings there as well?
Yep, their drawings, yep, absolutely.
Perfect.
And each of them receives a nice $50 gift card, so they can use that at Christmas time. So that's always a fun initiative that we do. And Christmas, though, is also the focus of the Rediscover section this week. And the feature this time focuses on the volunteer efforts of Bob O'Connell of St. Peter Parish in Mendota. And he works at this time of year on an initiative called Project Angel Tree.
Tell me about that.
Yeah. Well, Project Angel Tree is a ministry that was started in the late 70s by a former inmate in Alabama who experienced the difficulty of being, you know, apart from her family at Christmas. And when she got out of prison, she wanted to find a way to make sure the kids of people in prison wouldn't be forgotten at Christmas time. So it's an effort to bring gifts to children who have parents in prison. And Bob here organizes a group of about 120 volunteers every year, and he helps coordinate the buying and the delivery of gifts for the children of the inmates in the Twin Cities and really beyond. And, you know, kind of a special thing along with the delivery of the gifts comes a message from the parent who's in prison, and it's written on a white paper angel that's given to the child. So thus the name of the program. And, you know, it's definitely a Christmas time work of mercy that Mr. O'Connell and other volunteers are doing. And people can read more about his volunteer efforts and more about Project Angel Tree, and as well as more about the Christmas season in this week's Rediscover section.
We tend to forget that that is one of our calls as Christians, to visit the imprisoned.
That's right, you know, and you know, certainly people have made you know, some serious mistakes, and you know, they are they're paying for that, but you know, often it's innocent children and
their
other family members that have to
that
also
suffer
pay
too.
That price.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And you're right, it's a wonderful work of mercy. And actually one of our staff people here, Dave Hrabacek, who many people know, is a photographer, writer. He participates, volunteers for this program as well, and he always has great stories to tell when they go out to actually, he goes with his family and delivers these gifts to these other families, and just the reaction he gets oftentimes.
Oh,
I mean, you just talk about the real
spirit
meaning of Christmas, exactly.
Right. Yeah.
Well, that's all in the December 19th issue of the Catholic Spirit, which just came out.
That's right.
Is that your last issue of the year, then?
Well, last issue of the year. Next one is January 2nd. We'll be kicking off year two of our Rediscover section with the focus on prayer, and we'll be talking a little bit more about what we're doing throughout the year within the paper,
mm-hmm.
and we'll also have some other things coming up that we'll be highlighting. Immigration Sunday, an annual thing, is January 5th. We'll have a story about that as well.
We'll look forward to that. In the meantime, like St. Augustine heard, take up and read.
And Merry Christmas, Joe.
Yeah, blessed Christmas to you.
Thank you. We'll see you in a couple weeks. You can hear Joe Towalski, editor of The Catholic Spirit, every week here on the Rediscover Hour. And you can find The Catholic Spirit online anytime at thecatholicspirit.com.
And coming up on the Rediscover Hour, in Answering the Call, we'll talk with Deacon Dan Gannon about spiritual New Year's resolutions.
Also ahead, Bishop Pichet shares suggestions for engaging with family members who only attend Mass at Easter and Christmas. That's in today's invitation situation.
And we'll talk with Father John Paul Erickson about keeping Christmas alive in your heart and well beyond December 25th when we come right back.
Rediscover.
The Rediscover Hour on Relevant Radio is presented each week by Stinson Electric.
This is Paul Archambeau of Stinson Electric. We're proud to sponsor the Rediscover Hour. Stinson Electric is a trusted supplier of electrical services in the Twin Cities area.
Stinson Electric solves electrical problems for commercial, industrial, and institutional facility managers.
My customers really appreciate the electricians that I send out there. Their professionalism, their personality, their responsibility, the fact that they can call and get someone out there that knows how to solve the problem, does it in a timely manner, and is neat, tidy, polite as they do it. I get a lot of feedback about the employees.
It's rare to find a company so dedicated to doing business the right way so that everyone benefits.
We'd like to be your trusted electrical advisor. I'd be happy to meet with you and discuss your electrical needs. I can be reached at 612-424-7382 or on the web at stinsonelectricinc.com.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. I'm Paul Sadek.
And I'm Corey Regan. So you may have noticed that secular radio drops Christmas like a rock about noon on December 25th, and the after-Christmas sales begin the next day. But Christmas time begins. It doesn't end on Christmas Day.
Well, for more liturgical and historical perspective on the celebration of the full 12 days of Christmas, right up until Epiphany, we're joined by Father John Paul Erickson. Father Erickson is the director of the Archdiocesan Office of Worship. Always a pleasure to visit with you, Father.
Paul, thank you very much. Corey, great to be with you. And you're exactly right. As soon as midnight hits there on Christmas Day, we're right back to the top 40, which is a real shame. So
I'm grateful
for the chance to remind folks about the need to party well during this season of Christmas. The Church, of course, has seasons dedicated for preparations, for fasting. We think of Advent, we think of Lent. But we also need to remember that seasons of rejoicing, seasons of festivity, are also prolonged. We Catholics, we know how to fast well. We need to also learn how to party well. And as you both mentioned, the Christmas season runs even, I would even go beyond the 12 days that Paul, you mentioned. Christmas could even be celebrated all the way up until the presentation of our Lord, which, of course, is on February 2nd. Most of us are not quite prepared to go that in
we're tired.
That's exactly right. But all the same, I would encourage all the listeners of the Rediscover Hour to really embrace again this beautiful tradition of our church of not just celebrating Christmas on Christmas Day on December 25th, but really using the full-fledged season of this great liturgical year.
That was the extent of it in the old calendar, wasn't it? All the way up until the presentation
in early February? Yeah, that's right. And that's why in some places, a lot of places anymore, but in some places the creche actually isn't even taken down until February 2nd. Even now, it's true that we'll begin Sundays in ordinary time following the baptism of our Lord, and we'll return to that great color green after our using of white. But you're exactly right, Paul. In the older form and in the old calendar, Christmas went all the way right up into February 2nd, and we can keep a part of that even now.
Well, okay, so basically after Halloween, Christmas decorations go up, and
yes.
I mean, I felt late to the game if I didn't have my tree up by Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
But so why is it important to hold off on the celebration of Christmas until Christmas? I mean, obviously, if we're going to go to February 2nd, we're going to be tired. That's like 8 months of celebrating.
That's exactly right, Corey. No, it's a great point. And, you know, we as Christians, we as Catholics, we, of course, we're in the world, and we follow the regular secular calendar, just like everyone else, but we also follow another calendar, and that calendar of the church's, again, liturgical year, which is a whole different way of keeping time. And what the church teaches us through the liturgical calendar, and by being attentive to it, and using Advent to celebrate Advent, using Christmas to celebrate Christmas, and throughout the year, using Lent to commemorate Lent, and using Easter to celebrate Easter, what we learn is to think with, and to breathe with, and to imagine with the church.
Mm-hmm.
The church is she's a mother, and she gives us these seasons to teach us particular lessons which are appropriate for these particular seasons. And so I think what we lose when we celebrate Christmas according to the
secular
calendar, exactly, the rest of the world, we lose some of those lessons that Holy Mother Church wants to teach us. And if I may say so, we learn the lesson how to celebrate well. Celebrating well requires discipline.
Mm-hmm.
It requires a kind of self-control. And there really is a kind of a training for heaven there when we can celebrate well and we can fast well. When we use the season of Advent appropriately, it teaches us patience, teaches us expectation for the coming of the Messiah. When we celebrate Christmas well and with the church's mind and the church's rhythms, we're reminded of the beauty and the power of the God with us, and the fact that God has come not just to the Jewish people but to all of humanity.
Mm-hmm.
And we reflect upon that throughout the entire, again, length of the season of liturgical Christmas, which is indeed, again, different than the rest of the world.
Well, it helps you to remember really what you're celebrating.
Amen.
I mean, not to lose
exactly
sight of
right.
that.
Amen.
I appreciate your use of the word rhythms when it comes to the church's calendar. There really is a very unique rhythm to the sense of timing within
That's right.
the church.
That's right. And we as Christians, we need to realize that the coming of the Messiah, the coming of the infant and crucified King, did not just happen once in time. He has come, and now he is present to us through the church, the sacraments, and time itself has been redeemed and has been brought into the mystery of the Incarnation and the story of the Paschal mystery. And by keeping the rhythm of the liturgical year, we breathe in the mystery of the Incarnation. We breathe in the mystery of this grand story, which is not just a fable, which is indeed the love story of God for his people, which has chapters, and we follow those chapters throughout the liturgical year, including the chapters of Advent and Christmas.
So talk about those 12 days.
Yeah, we begin Christmas.
I mean, we have a song that we hear every year.
That's exactly right. Yeah, the maids a-leaping and all that stuff. However, the fact is, those are the 12 days, of course, between the solemnity of Christmas itself, the day, December 25th, and Epiphany, which happen, again, 12 days afterwards. We begin Christmas the evening before. This is why, of course, we have Christmas Eve Masses, and they certainly, if you'll pardon the expression, qualify for the celebration of Christmas Mass.
Mm-hmm.
But then we go right up until the Feast of the Epiphany. And what the Church is celebrating there, both with Christmas and then with the full flowering of Epiphany, the revelation of the God-man to the wise men, is that this babe of Bethlehem is not just the Messiah of the Jews. He is not just the Son of David. He is indeed the Son of God, the Savior of all mankind. And the wise men who come those 12 days later to pay homage to the king not only represent the wisdom of the ages and the search for answers that these wise men certainly are doing, they also represent men and women from the East, from other parts of the world. And so you have encapsulated here the real, again, unfolding, unflowering of the full message of Christmas, which is not just that God has come to his chosen people, it's that all people now, through Jesus, are chosen, which really is a true message of joy and of salvation. So we reflect upon this for these full 12 days. One of the ways we can do that in our homes and in our workplaces even is by having little gifts that we can offer to our family throughout those 12 days.
Oh, I like that idea.
Keep the party going.
Yeah, that's right. And that, again, that requires a kind of a self-control. We don't oftentimes remember that the capacity to celebrate well requires a certain amount of self-denial, as contradictory as that may seem.
Discipline, yeah.
That's right. But if we can extend that, if we can choose to celebrate for those 12 days, we can bring that joy to others. We can bring the good news of salvation to all men and women, to those around us, through these small acts, little gifts, keeping our Christmas tree up, keeping our lights up. These things, these little things, really are important.
To remind people that Christmas is still going.
That's right. The party continues. The party rages, if I can even use that
term. Well, historically, when was the Christmas season celebrated?
Yeah, that's a great question, Corey. And the fact is, actually, in preparation for this morning, I did a little bit of research, and it really there's not a simple answer, to be perfectly candid. It's different parts of the Catholic world. We think of the East, mm-hmm. the Mediterranean. We think of Rome. We think of Spain. We think of the British Isles. All these places, as the Church developed over the years, they all kind of developed their own calendars. Now, mm-hmm. certainly, it was all of them had common features, but different places celebrated feast days, as surprising as it might seem, on different days
because their calendar was different.
That's exactly right.
Looking
right.
back, did they think that Jesus was born on a different day? Or?
Yes, that's right. Or perhaps more clearly, the various churches weren't focusing necessarily upon the nativity of the Lord, more mm-hmm. upon the crucifixion, the passion, and the death of our Lord. And so this reality of the birth of the King, described so beautifully in the Gospel of Luke, just wasn't, again, it can seem surprising to us now, how important it is to us now, but just wasn't part
wasn't
of the
imagination. Wasn't at the forefront.
That's right. Not part of our story so clearly. However, as the Church progressed and developed and the theology developed and reflection upon Scripture developed, really the importance of the infancy narratives became more and more prominent, especially as the Church reflected upon the divinity of Christ and reflected with great wonderment upon the fact that the Logos became one of us, even became a gurgling baby,
mm-hmm.
And that developed. There's also the fact that this time of the year, just on a natural level, is a very dark time. It's a time of cold. Especially in this hemisphere.
Right.
And there was the pagan celebration, of course, of the light. There was the pagan celebration that the tide was changing, that the nights were getting darker and darker, but now we're returning back perhaps to the glory of summer and certainly of spring. Well, Jesus, of course, is the light of the world. He is the warmth of God's love.
Mm-hmm.
And so as the church sought to eliminate some of these pagan religions, it took some of these same feast days, some of these same days on the calendar of the pagan peoples, and adapted our own Christian celebrations to those days.
Okay.
So that's also an important part of the development, too.
It's a big party.
Amen, amen. And we got to celebrate well. And
I agree.
We have to give good example. But again, we have to. That requires discipline. It requires self-control. And we can do it. We can make it. We can celebrate well.
I like that term, celebrate well, the right way.
Amen.
Father John Paul Erickson, always fun to visit with you.
Paul and Corey, keep up the great work. And remember, we still got a couple of days of Advent, but Christmas is just around the corner. And remember to celebrate the full season, please.
Well, a blessed Advent to you, Father, and a Merry Christmas when it comes.
Amen. Take care.
Merry Christmas until... Merry Christmas.
Amen.
We can't
like
Merry
that.
Christmas anymore.
Thanks, Corey. Thank you.
You can find resources for your family's Advent preparation online on the Our Sunday Visitor website. We've set up a link on our show page.
And there are also wonderful resources for older children and adults posted on the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops website, and we've linked to that as well. Just go to our show page at rediscover-faith.org and click on radio in the top navigation bar.
Every week on the Rediscover Hour, we catch up with a few local Catholics and ask them a question.
And last weekend, we caught up with folks attending a live nativity performance at St. Joseph in Meesville, and we asked them, what is the ornament on your Christmas tree that is the most special to you? And here's how they responded.
Hi, my name is Kathy, and my favorite ornament is actually three on my tree, and they are the ones with the pictures of my father and my father-in-law and my niece, who are deceased, and we like to celebrate their lives and remember them at Christmas.
Hi, I'm Mary. My most memorable ornaments are the ones that I own from Ireland. I was able to go to Ireland this fall, and it has a very special meaning for me.
Hi, my name's Anne. My favorite ornament on my tree is the star on the top, because it's one that we've had since my kids were little, and every year it's just tradition. We put it on, and we do love tradition, the traditions of Christmas.
I'm Rebecca Susek, and my favorite Christmas ornaments are the ones that my children made when they were in elementary school, because it reminds me of when they were young.
Hello, I'm Tom. My favorite ornament on the Christmas tree is a canoe we got from Lake Itasca a long time ago, and it's been a tradition in our family to get an ornament for every year that we've had a tree. It's my favorite ornament because of the family time that I had there. It was fun for me.
I am William, and my favorite ornament on the Christmas tree is a carving or a clay model of Jesus in the cradle. And why I like it is because it shows when Jesus was born, and I don't exactly remember where we got it, but that's just why I like it.
Hello, I'm Julia, and my favorite ornament is a hand-carved wooden nativity carved by Father Michael Connor, who was our he was a retired priest here at Meesville for many years, and he passed away in 2005. And we just all dearly loved him. He was a great 100% Irish priest, and every time I hang it on my tree, I just think of him, and it makes me smile.
Please visit our show page and share with us your idea for a question to ask local Catholics. Just go to rediscover-faith.org, click on radio in the top navigation bar.
Well, coming up today on the Rediscover Hour, are you concerned about a family member who only attends Mass at Christmas and Easter? We'll hear about the importance of patience in engaging Catholics who have drifted away from the life of the Church in today's invitation situation.
And make a New Year's resolution that will make a difference in your life. We'll talk with Deacon Dan Gannon about spiritual goal setting for 2014 when we come right back.
Rediscover.
Just over 100 years ago, the first windshield appeared on cars and trucks. A century ago, windshields only served as protection from road debris, bugs, and bad weather. Now a windshield is an important part of the safety system in your car. Having the right company replace or repair your windshield can make a clear difference. We recommend the Auto Glass Installed Company.
I'm Nancy Jasperson with my husband Michael and now our daughter Brandy. We've helped many Relevant Radio listeners with their auto glass needs. Our local family business has years of experience installing and repairing your vehicle's glass. We handle all of the insurance paperwork and use only the best quality replacement parts. We even come to your home or office to do the repair. I hope the next time you or someone you know needs a chip repaired or a windshield replaced, you will think of us, the Auto Glass Installed Company.
Get your windshield repair done with premium glass and proper installation from the Auto Glass Installed Company. Call 763-274-0177 or relevantradio.com, keyword glass.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. I'm Corey Regan.
And I'm Paul Sadek. While the store ads are full of last-minute Christmas gifts this week, next week they'll be full of workout wear and diet products. Seems nearly everyone has a goal to lose weight or get in physical shape at the new year.
Right, but how many of us focus on what shape our souls are in? And what would be some good suggestions for spiritual New Year's resolutions? And to discuss spiritual goal setting for 2014, we're joined today by Deacon Dan Gannon. And Deacon Gannon is a spiritual instructor, retreat master, theologian, and instructor at the Archbishop Harry J. Flynn Catechetical Institute. Thanks for joining us today, Deacon.
Well, good morning. It's a pleasure to be with you.
Okay, so why is it important in general to set spiritual goals?
Well, you know, it's a practical thing. We all need to have goals,
mm-hmm.
you know, as human beings to move ourselves forward. But that really presupposes the essential goal, which is spiritual, to follow Christ more faithfully, to be holy. And holiness means to be a saint and to do God's will. And so in spiritual goal setting, we need to be looking at just some practical things that we can do to make us better followers of Christ and to help us to do His will in our daily lives more effectively.
What's the most important element in spiritual growth?
Well, you know, jumping right to it, I have to say it's prayer.
Mm-hmm.
It really is prayer. You know, John Paul II was the one who said, we have to put out into the deep of prayer in order to put out into the deep of mission. And so, you know, for our lives to be transformed in action, that has to begin, you know, and have as its core the contemplation of the Lord Jesus, as John Paul II put it. And this, he said, requires mature and faithful prayer. So really, prayer is essential and is a wonderful place for us to start when we start thinking about what could be our New Year's resolution spiritually. And prayer is that way in which we encounter Christ in that dialogue, the dialogue with the Holy Trinity, and as St. Teresa said, it's that intimate conversation with one whom we know loves us. And so it starts with that daily conversation with God.
And prayer is our theme for our Rediscover 2014 speaker series talks, so that kind of goes hand in hand with what you're talking about. If you want to learn more about prayer and get better at it, attend those talks. That would be a great start. And so what do you have to do before we even go about the spiritual goal setting? What can we do to prepare ourselves to set these goals?
Well, you know, that's a great question. And I think one has to be very concrete. And let's just start with recognizing in our lives, what are our obligations? You know, God's will reveals itself first and foremost in our vocations, in our obligations, certainly to God, getting to Mass, getting to confession, and so forth. But, you know, what are our obligations to our spouse, our obligations as a father,
mm-hmm.
our obligations at work? How are we spending our time? How are we spending time as a family unit? So it's a good beginning to do kind of an examine, if you will, of your life and say, look, if I'm going to be setting spiritual goals here, how am I doing here in my obligations, first of all? Because that's where God's will is manifest. And if being holy means doing God's will, we have to start with those kinds of things. So getting our priorities in order and really identifying that need for God. You know, there's so much that happens today that distracts us, doesn't it? Especially
sure.
this time of year.
Yeah, oh yeah.
And it's just I often have found in spiritual direction and in ministry that just even feeling the need for God has been oftentimes lost. And if
yeah.
we don't feel that need for God and we don't recognize His will in just the daily obligations we have and so forth, sometimes we can get lost. So I think that's a great place to start, is to get our priorities in order and to take a look at,
look at
our daily lives and those obligations God has set before us in our vocations, in our state and life.
When we get right down to it, though, we really need to go beyond our obligations, don't we?
That's right. Absolutely. And if we're doing those things right, we can move forward and be able to make that time for prayer and identify ways that we can increase our spiritual life. So, you know, things like going to daily Mass and in prayer, engaging in Lectio Divina. I've heard you talk about that a lot, the divine reading, to be able to make some resolutions, like a morning offering, for example, or a morning and an evening offering or prayer. Those are wonderful ways to begin to add things to our lives to keep us in touch with God throughout the day, and in order to also unite our families together. Another idea is, for example, are we praying together as a family? You know, the saying that the family that prays together stays together.
Yeah.
That's another wonderful thing, especially during this Advent and these final days of preparation, gathering together and doing some reflections on sacred scripture. Doing that alone, doing that with the family, those are some wonderful ways for us to look at some ways in which we can unite ourselves to God more intimately in prayer. Making those little ejaculatory prayers during the day. Jesus, I trust in you.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus, have mercy on me, a sinner. For the sake of his sorrowful passion. All those kinds of little acts of love during the day that we can begin to sprinkle into our lives.
Well, and then how can we hold ourselves accountable in such an intensely personal resolution? I mean, other folks who make their New Year's resolutions, they're more visible, like a diet or whatever, but spiritual stuff really isn't as readily, you know, apparent.
Yeah.
This is the kind of thing where
nobody's going to know.
Don't
so
do
if
this.
You cheat or if you don't do it, like, you know, nobody knows but God, I guess, and you. So how can we hold ourselves accountable?
You know, a wonderful way to do that is to seek spiritual direction, to seek a spiritual director.
So who can be a spiritual director?
Especially, if possible, certainly priests, deacons are spiritual directors, but also there are lay people.
Mm-hmm.
The key is that this person be very learned. They know their faith, certainly, and they're with the church in their faith. But they also have experience in that prudence that's developed through experience, to be able to provide and reflect back to the person that they're counseling about their lives and about how God is acting in their lives, and be able to be an instrument for a person to reflect and also be challenged and be held accountable as one moves through their spiritual lives. It's kind of that objective other self that you have to be able to kind of keep you in track and keep you on the right path.
Okay.
When we embark on resolutions like these, of course, we hope to make progress. Is there some way that we can track that?
You know, keeping a journal is one way that people have found that this is a very effective way. That way you can look back and see the progress that you make. You know, the progress in the spiritual life can just seem like, boy, I'm moving nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it can be frustrating sometimes. But, you know, journaling can help us focus on finding God in those everyday events of life and just finding the right time and place and manner, reflecting on, you know, on the past and assessing the present and looking forward to the future can help us work through struggles and keep moving forward with that accountability we were talking about.
Well, and there's that app, the Rediscover app. You can actually journal in My Faith Life. It's a great tool. I use it, and it's with you all the time on your phone and a good place to track how you're doing.
Sure, absolutely. You know, making a kind of coming up with a rule of life of developing some good habits, some good routines. You know, if a person can get to daily Mass, that's a wonderful habit to begin. Having a morning offering prayer, taking a particular time during the day, oftentimes for most people it's in the morning, kind of when someone's fresh, is to take that time for that prayer from the heart, that intimate conversation with God, maybe with the scriptures in front of you or a good spiritual book, to be able to just speak to God from the heart and listen, and be able to set that time aside every day, even if it's just starting out for 10 minutes, that's a wonderful way to develop that habit of prayer.
Among other things, you serve as a spiritual director, so give us some advice. What's the most important thing you can tell us as a spiritual director when it comes to these resolutions?
Well, you know, the first is to keep it real,
yeah.
To keep things practical, and to set realistic goals.
None of this, I'm going to sit down and pray for 3 hours every day.
Yes, exactly.
At least not at the beginning.
Work up to that.
Exactly. Keep it simple, keep it realistic, and really, you know, focus on the fundamentals. You know, prayer, Mass, the traditions of the church, the wonderful devotions of the church, and fostering a healthy habit of regular confession. These are some things, as a spiritual director, of just setting these realistic goals of making sure that there's prayer present in one's life, in that intimate conversation, in taking that time with the Lord daily, also with the family as well, and just doing some check-ins that way. In spiritual direction, making sure that someone is keeping it real by being true to and seeing God's will in the daily duties and obligations, and doing all those little acts throughout the day with great love is kind of a good litmus test as a spiritual director. If I'm seeing someone who's growing and they're not sitting there aspiring to these things far beyond them or 3 hours of prayer a day or something, but really trying to see God in the little things, that's often a great litmus test in spiritual direction that someone is making progress.
Deacon Dan Gannon, thanks for giving us some good, solid stuff to work on this coming year.
Well, you bet. Have a blessed Christmas.
And you too. We've set up a link to all the resources that have been mentioned in today's interview on our show page. You can find that page by going to rediscover-faith.org. Click on radio in the top navigation bar.
And there you will also find information on the Rediscover Faith 2014 Speaker Series, which starts February 3rd. And like I said, it's a great opportunity to live out a New Year's resolution and to grow your prayer life. And as Deacon Gannon reminds us, spiritual growth must begin with prayer. And Deacon Gannon will actually be back on the Rediscover Hour on January 24th to help us check back in on where we are on our resolutions.
Rediscover Why Pray and Rediscover How to Pray are two inspiring talks that highlight the beauty of prayer and offer insight on how to pray, gathered from 2,000 years of church experience. Discover how your life can change and grow in new and powerful ways by building a personal relationship and friendship with Jesus Christ. The two talks are offered on consecutive weeks at each location, February 3rd and 10th at Holy Name of Jesus, Wayzata, February 4th and 11th at St. John Newman, Eagan, February 24th and March 3rd, Our Lady of Grace, Edina, and February 25th and March 4th at St. John the Baptist, New Brighton.
And all Rediscover Faith 2014 Speaker Series talks begin at 7 p.m. and run 90 minutes, including hospitality time. So check out the link on our show page for more details.
Well, coming up on the Rediscover Hour, we all know someone who only attends Mass at the holidays, and we all want to reach out. But how?
Well, Bishop Lee Pache shares his suggestions for patiently and lovingly inviting drifted away Catholics to rediscover the faith. In today's invitation situation, we'll be right back. Rediscover.
Stinson Electric solves electrical problems for commercial, industrial, and institutional facility managers. They strive for the best results for their customers.
This is Paul Archambault of Stinson Electric. This summer, I took a 10-day vacation up at the lake. The first three emails that I opened on Monday morning were all compliments about how well my employees had handled various things while I was gone. What a blessing to come back to that.
Stinson Electric has such a wide set of skills, your electrical needs are always handled by an expert in the field.
Our ideal in our company is to have each person be continuously improving. So we host annual in-house training for our electricians. They're trained in safety, they're trained in new codes, troubleshooting techniques. That way, with a number of employees, we have kind of a wide range of knowledge. People become experts on different parts of the business.
Stinson Electric is the sponsor of the Rediscover Hour on Relevant Radio. You can contact Paul at 612-424-7382.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. I'm Paul Sadek.
And I'm Corey Regan, and we were just perusing the news, and we found a most peaceful version of Silent Night.
The Franciscan Sisters are featuring that version of Silent Night. They are anticipating the joy of Christmas by presenting Twin Cities guitarist Nick Kicknap's meditative version of Silent Night. Now, you can get a free copy of this, a download, by going to fscc-calledtobe.org. Now, Nick is recent graduate of the University of St. Thomas Music Program and currently writing a method book aimed at teaching young guitarists how to play jazz by learning from transcribed solos of early jazz legends.
Yeah, and he's also author and jazz historian. And let's see, he's reflecting on his unique, calm, and exploratory approach, and he observed the beauty and simplicity of Silent Night inspired my arrangement of the song. And in his version, he attempts to create a meditative atmosphere with layered guitars and an improvised section in the middle while still keeping true to the simple melody and harmony.
We don't have time to hear the whole thing, but let's hear a little bit of next version of Silent Night. Different.
It's very calming.
Meditative.
Yes.
And you can get a free download of that at fscc-calledtobe.org. And we thank Nick and the Franciscan Sisters for that version of Silent Night.
It's beautiful. And time for the invitation situation, which is a segment we feature often on here on the Rediscover Hour. And today, we're addressing a scenario that was the topic of discussion on last week's show, hospitality at the holidays, because it's so important. Christmas and Easter may be the only context with the church that many people we know have throughout the year.
It's just hard to know what to say to make a warm and welcoming invitation to consider a deeper relationship with the faith to friends and family who only go to Mass once or twice a year. Bishop Pichet has some suggestions in today's invitation situation.
Hello, I'm Bishop Lee Pichet, Auxiliary Bishop of the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis. Our weekly invitation situation on the Rediscover Hour is all about sharing ideas and examples of how to call others into communion with Jesus through His church. Little seeds we plant to help someone along the path. This person could be a family member who has drifted away from the church. Perhaps a neighbor who doesn't practice any religion but is seeking answers to life's big questions. Or maybe a coworker who seems unhappy or in need of something beautiful and positive in his or her life. As Christians, we are called to invite others to a personal relationship with the living God, Jesus Christ. Our goal should never be instant conversion, but planting little seeds of loving and joyful invitation. When we do, the Holy Spirit takes those seeds and brings them to fruition. In today's invitation situation, adult siblings Matt and Jennifer have a little conversation a week or so after Easter. Matt and Jennifer were both raised Catholic. Matt married and started a family with his wife, and they are raising their children in the Catholic faith as well. Jennifer is single and has drifted away from the church since she went away to college out of state several years ago. Now she's living back in town, but does not attend Mass regularly.
I love that you came to Mass with us, and Easter is the most important season for us Catholics. It's just that, well, I'm worried about you. Coming to Mass a couple times a year is good, but it's not enough, Jennifer. I am worried about whether you will be saved. I care about you.
I don't know what to say to that. Are you saying I'm not a good person?
Jennifer, of course I know you're a good person. I'm just saying that I worry about your salvation.
Although Matt's heart is in the right place, he truly cares about his sister's soul, he is saying something that Jennifer is not ready to hear, and he is judging Jennifer's relationship with God. Jesus never said we shouldn't make any judgments. We use the gift of our free will to make judgments every day. But we are expressly told that we may not judge what is in another person's heart and mind, and we may never presume to know the state of another person's soul. In fact, if we do, we are hurting our own souls through sins of pride. We are demanding immediate conversion or reversion, but that is simply unrealistic. We have to trust in God's timeline, not the one we want. We have to be patient with others, as God is with us. So what should we say to those we know who are not yet living in the fullness of the life of the church? What is our responsibility to those we love with respect to their salvation? Let's see how Matt takes a different approach.
Okay. Jennifer, it was great that you joined the family for Easter Mass. You are always welcome to come to Mass with us.
Thanks, Matt. It's good coming together with Mom and Dad and you and your family.
I really mean that. You always have a place with us and in the church. We so appreciate it when you join us. And we miss you when you're not with us. The Catholic faith and my relationship with Jesus Christ is the cornerstone of my life and our family life. It brings us true joy and great peace. If you ever want to discuss the faith, I'm here and happy to talk. I also know of some other great resources for you.
In the second example, Matt demonstrates he understands that evangelization happens through witness and sharing, living the faith and spreading the good news, leading to the conversion of heart and mind to Christ over time. We all know Catholics who no longer practice the faith. Many of them still identify as Catholic, even though they no longer worship with the community, depriving themselves of the gifts of word and sacrament, and depriving the church of their participation. As an entire community of faith, and personally, we need to welcome them to become alive in the good news of Jesus, to make their lives more fully a part of the ongoing story of salvation, and to let Christ heal and reconcile them through the Holy Spirit. We must let our inactive brothers and sisters know that they always have a place in the church, and that we are hurt by their absence, as they are. We want to show our regret for any misunderstandings or pain they express regarding their relationship with the church, and we want to help them see that, however they feel about the church, we want to talk with them, share with them, and accept them as brothers and sisters. Every Catholic can be a minister of welcome, reconciliation, and understanding to those who have stopped practicing the faith. Thank you for listening to today's Invitation Situation.
Very true. Every Catholic can be a minister of welcome, reconciliation, and understanding to those who have stopped practicing the faith. And if you have ideas for an Invitation Situation segment, we want to hear them. Contact us through our show page at rediscover-faith.org. Remember to click on radio on the top navigation bar, or email us directly at therediscoverhour@archspm.org. That's therediscoverhour@archspm.org. Time now for a quick look at upcoming Catholic events. On January 21st and 22nd, you're invited to participate, however you are able, in an all-night prayer vigil for hope, healing, and mercy. For over 40 years, legalized abortion has left many men and women empty, confused, and longing to be whole again. This vigil is open to all, with a special encouragement to attend to those who have been hurt by abortion. Vigil begins at 7 p.m. January 21st, ends at 7 a.m. January 22nd at St. Mary's Chapel at St. Paul Seminary. It's open. It opens with Mass at 7 p.m. The chapel will be open all night. Come and join others in prayer for all or part of the vigil. Free parking in the seminary parking lot at the University of St. Thomas St. Paul campus. Find out more at archspm.org or call Sharon Wilson, 651-291-4506. That's 651-291-4506.
Now, we mentioned this upcoming set of opportunities earlier in the show today. Make a New Year's resolution to grow your prayer life. Rediscover Faith 2014 Speaker Series, which starts February 3rd. Mark your calendars now for talks in the Rediscover Faith 2014 Speaker Series. The total attendance topped 15,000 for the 2013 series. Make sure you are among those to participate in the all-new talks this year. Rediscover How to Pray and Rediscover Why to Pray are two inspiring inspiring talks that highlight the beauty of prayer and offer insight on how to pray gathered from 2,000 years of church experience. Discover how your life can be changed and grow in new and powerful ways by building a personal friendship with Jesus Christ. And the two talks are offered on consecutive weeks at each location, February 3rd and 10th at Holy Name of Jesus in Wayzata, February 4th and 11th at St. John Newman in Eagan, February 24th and March 3rd at Our Lady of Grace in Edina, and February 25th and March 4th at St. John the Baptist in New Brighton. And again, all speaker series talks begin at 7 p.m. and run 90 minutes, including hospitality time. And details are at rediscover-faith.org under events.
Registration is now open for the Single Parent Retreat, Saturday, February 8th from 9 a.m. to noon. Participants are also invited to come for Mass at 8 a.m. This retreat is sponsored by the Archdiocesan Office of Marriage, Family, and Life, and it takes place at Maternity of Mary, 1414 North Dale Street in St. Paul. Single parents are invited to come enjoy a morning of Christian support and renewal through presentation, fellowship, and meaningful discussion. The very Reverend Timothy Clotier, Judicial Vicar of the Archdiocese of St. Paul and Minneapolis, and Catherine Molnar, licensed psychologist and the clinical director of the Midwest Center for Personal and Family Development, will offer presentations on heavenly help in raising your children and installing resilience, establishing a firm foundation of healthy self-esteem and boundaries. Cost is $10 per family. Find out more and register online at archspm.org or call 651-291-4489. That's 651-291-4489. Well, we'll have an encore edition of our show on December 25th, and then coming up on January 3rd on the Rediscover Hour, we'll talk with a woman who's attended every Lenten women's retreat sponsored by the Office of Marriage, Family, and Life. Find out why she's already made plans to attend the 2014 retreat.
And we'll find out about some exciting speakers booked for 2014 St. Paul's Outreach Men on a Mission Breakfasts.
Plus, we'll hear from local Catholics about their spiritual New Year's resolutions.
The Rediscover Hour brought to you by Stinson Electric, Fridays at 9 a.m., Saturdays at 6 p.m., and Sundays at 9 a.m., right here on Relevant Radio.
The Rediscover Hour is heard every Friday morning at 9, Saturday evening at 6, and Sunday morning at 9 on Relevant Radio 1330. You can find show audio archives at rediscover-faith.org and at relevantradio.com. Keyword, rediscover. The Rediscover Hour is a production of the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis in cooperation with Relevant Radio. Rediscover.